Hebrews 4 and verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, our confession of Him and salvation by Him. We sometimes wonder who wrote this book, and sometimes you see Paul's hand in this, because as you read through the book of Hebrews, one of the things you'll notice the writer does, he'll mention a word, or he'll mention a phrase, or he'll inject a thought, and then he'll continue several chapters coming back to that and enlarging that thought. You'll notice that here in the book of Hebrews. Here in verse 14, he mentions four things, and he enlarges upon these as we go on through this book. He's already spoken of the first one. I just want to look at these four things that we find here in verse 14, and it's high priest. He mentions these four things, high priest. He's already mentioned that name twice, and he goes on through the 10th chapter and enlarges so much on the high priest that we have. The second word here that and phrase that he uses is passed into the heavens. Into the heavens. He uses that different times in this book. And Jesus, the Son of God. That's the third thing. And lastly, and I guess this would be the application of all this, let us hold fast. So let's look at these things. First of all, high priest. Seeing then that we have a high priest. This is the third time that he's mentioned this, and it's almost in passing. But look back at the first place he mentioned this, back in chapter 2, and look in verse 17. He mentions four things here about our high priest in chapter 2, and look in verse 17. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. He mentions four things here about our high priest. The first time he mentioned our high priest is here in this verse. He mentions four things about him. First of all, and how essential this is. And this is why he's our high priest. This is something that must take place before he can be our high priest. He was made like unto his brother. He was made of a woman, wasn't he? Made under the law. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Why is that essential? Because sin entered into this world by one man. You know why you and I are sinners? Because sin entered by one man back in the garden. By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. By one man's obedience shall many be made righteous. So Jesus Christ, to be our high priest and represent us, he had to come down from heaven. He had to take our humanity to himself and suffer and die in that humanity. I think it was Greg told me the other day, and I've heard this statement so often in my Christian life, it goes something like this: God is full of merit, but God can't suffer. God is full of worth, but he can't die. Man can die, but he don't have any merit. Jesus Christ in our humanity is full of merit, and he can die. He can suffer and die. So therefore, he had to be made like unto his brother, that he might be a faithful and merciful high priest. And that's the second thing, not only that he was made like unto his brother, but he says here in verse 17 that he might be a merciful high priest. And you know it's mercy we need, isn't it? It's mercy we need. It's compassion that you and I need. And that's why he came down from heaven, to show mercy. I've often said this. He didn't come to solicit a sacrifice or an offering from us. He came to show mercy, didn't he? He said, they that are whole don't need a physician, but they that are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And he said, go learn what that means. Go learn your need of mercy. And look here how he says it in chapter 5, and look in verse 1 and 2. Every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? One of the qualifications for a high priest, he had to be able to have compassion on the ignorant and on those who are out of the way. Isn't that a good description of us? Aren't we ignorant? Haven't we all gone astray? And we have a faithful high priest who is so merciful. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. That's what he said. I will be merciful. I love that, don't you? I love mercy. I love mercy. I love to talk about mercy and pity. Somebody told me one time, I don't want your pity. Well, you may not want mine, but do you want his? As a father pitieth his children. So we have a merciful high priest. That's why he said here, and just below our text, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. So our high priest is merciful. He's made like unto his brethren and he's merciful. And he says here, thirdly, that he's faithful in things pertaining to God. Faithful in things pertaining to God. And he said up in chapter 3 and verse 1 that he's faithful to God who appointed him. Faithful. Faithful. I wish I could be. Don't you wish you could be 100% faithful? Don't you wish you could? Faithful to God, faithful to one another, faithful to your calling. But boy, we're full of infirmities, aren't we? But you know something? He was completely faithful. He was faithful to God. Brother Scott Richardson used to say that before God can do anything for us, He has to do something for Himself. And what He did for Himself was send His Son to fulfill His law, to satisfy His judgment, justice, to meet all the demands that He required of us. Jesus Christ said, lo, I come to do Thy will. Thy law is within my heart. He's faithful, isn't He? He's a faithful and merciful high priest. And the last thing He says here, fourthly, about our high priest, He said, when He took our humanity to Himself, a faithful and merciful high priest, look at this, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. This word reconciliation, it can also mean atonement or purification for sin. If I was going to write this, I would say something like this, that He came to make reconciliation to God by atoning for our sin. You see, there, brothers and sisters, there's a great gulf between us and God. And it's sin. He said, your sins have created this gulf between me and you. Somebody came and spanned that gulf. And that gulf was sin. Somebody came and atoned for sin. And when the Lord Jesus atoned for sin, He brought reconciliation. Atonement and reconciliation is just one thing, really. It's just one thing. He made reconciliation by the blood of His cross. We were enemies of God, and by His atonement, He removed that which caused the division. You take a man and his wife, and they've fallen out, and they're ready to have a divorce, and somebody says, go to the counselor and see if you can be reconciled. You've got to be reconciled. Well, Jesus Christ came, and upon the cross of Calvary, He reconciled us to God. He removed the enmity. That's our high priest. Seeing then that we have a high priest like this. And he goes on to say so many things about him in this book. Just look right quickly at some of the things that he says about our high priest. He goes on and enlarges about who he is. He says there in chapter 3 and verse 1, we looked at this a few weeks ago. He said, consider the high priest of our book. Consider him. And that word consider, it means fix your mind upon Him. It means to examine, to think on with care, to meditate upon. Consider this high priest. When you see his name mentioned that he's a high priest, then stop and say, what kind of a high priest is he? And look at some places. Just let me read these places to you. Look in chapter 5 and look in verse 4. He's speaking of the priesthood under the law and those men who were made priests. And he says in verse 4, and no man takes this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. Who put Jesus in his priesthood? The Father, didn't he? The Father called him to be a priest. And he said in chapter 5 in verse 10, look at this, something else about his priesthood that's so important. In verse 10, he's called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now, we'll look at this when we get to it, but what does that mean? Well, look in chapter 7 and look in verse 3. Here's what's said about Melchizedek. Without father, without mother, and we'll see that they really didn't know who his father and mother was, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Continually. Christ is a priest continually. Look in verse 16. Who is made, Christ is made, not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. Endless life. He ever lives, doesn't he, to be a high priest. And look what he says in verse 25. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercessions for them. He has an endless priesthood. Endless priesthood. In chapter 7, in verse 20 and verse 22, something else about his priesthood. Look at this, in verse 20 and 22. And inasmuch as not without an oath was he made a priest. For those priests were made without an oath, but this man, Christ Jesus, with an oath, by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He's not only called of God and put in the priesthood, but God swear to it. You're a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Look in chapter 9, something else, and look in verse 11 through verse 14. This is interesting. Chapter 9, look in verse 11. For Christ, being come then high priest of good things to come, by greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. Moses set up that tabernacle with his hands, made them with his hand. That is to say, not of this building. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of the heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And what he's telling us here is those priests, they offered the bodies of animals. What did Christ offer? His body. His own body. Himself. They offered blood of bulls and goats. What did he offer? His blood. His own blood. Look what he says here in chapter 20, in chapter 9, look in verse 26. Verse 25 said, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as those high priests enter into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin. How? Not by the sacrifice of bulls and goats, but by his own blood, by himself, by the sacrifice of himself. In verse 28, So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. On the Day of Atonement, they brought that goat, that scapegoat, and they confessed their sins on the head of that scapegoat, putting their sins, transferring their sins on the head of that scapegoat. But when Jesus Christ came, He became the scapegoat. God took the sins of all His elect people and put them on Him, and He bore them away, just as that scapegoat did in time. Look at another place. Look in chapter 10. Very familiar. Look in verse 9. So then, lo, He said, lo, I come to do Thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that He may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every high priest stands daily, ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And look over in chapter 13. I've got you turning a lot, but look over in chapter 13 in verse 11. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. So He says a lot about our high priest, doesn't He? And we'll get to these as we and comment on these as we get to them. But I just wanted to show you that He just mentions the high priest, basically. And then He enlarges through all this book. And He does it that you and I might consider Him. Consider what kind of priest that we have. So that's the first word here He mentions. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. That's the first statement. Now look back in verse 14 and look what He says. The second thing He says about our high priest. That is passed unto the heavens. He is passed unto the heavens. Our high priest is no longer in the grave. He's no longer on this earth. He has passed unto the heavens. You know, there's a lot of those priests under the law. They're not in heaven. There's a lot of them. Because some of them were rascals. They were scoundrels. Hophni and Phinehas. I often remember those two young fellows. Sons of Eli the priest, high priest. And man, they took bribes. Ate the fat, threatened people. God killed them. Sent the Philistines and killed them. Tell you another one, probably not in heaven. Caiaphas. Remember Caiaphas, the high priest in our Lord's day? And they took the Lord Jesus from the Garden of Gethsemane early in the morning, probably still dark, to the high priest's house, Caiaphas. And there he sat in his big armchair. They brought the master there, and I can just see his hair still wet. His coat was wet with his sweat and his blood where he'd been sweating in the garden. And Caiaphas, the high priest, looked at him and said, I adjure you by the living God that you tell us if you're the Christ, the Son of God. And he said, you said it. You said it. But hereafter, you'll see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power. That sounds like this book, doesn't it? Sitting on the right hand of power, coming in the clouds with glory. And old Caiaphas, he jumps up and tears his shirt and said, we've heard enough. We've heard enough. We don't need any more witnesses. What are you going to do to this man? They said, kill him. Hang him. You reckon Caiaphas is in heaven? I tell you what, if God didn't humble his heart and bring him to repentance and to believe on the one he accused of blasphemy, and experienced a new birth. He's not there, is he? He's not there. But you know, there's some good ones there. Aaron was a good high priest, but in spite of his infirmity. There was a lot of priests that's in heaven. But you know something? None of them can help us. They can't help us, can they? Their priesthood have passed away. But we've got one there that can help us. He has passed unto the heavens. And the apostle mentions this in so many places about where he is now and how he got there and passing. He said in chapter 6 in verse 20, listen to what he said there. He said here in verse 18 of chapter 6, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong refuge, a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of our souls, sure and steadfast, which entereth unto that within the veil, that's heaven, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest. Where's our high priest? He's entered behind the veil, the real veil, heaven itself. Heaven itself. And he said in verse 7 and verse 26, look what he said here in chapter 7, verse 26 about being in heaven. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. That's the way the Hebrews talk sometimes. They talked about being high in the heaven. That means he's the highest. He's exalted over all. And the Bible says he has to humble himself to behold the things that's in heaven. He's been exalted. He's in heaven. He's above heaven. You know, ain't that the kind of priest we need? Those poor priests of old, they were compassed with sinful infirmities. That's why they always had to offer a sacrifice for themselves first. But what kind of priest do we have? Holy, harmless, and undefiled. You know there's somebody in heaven in our humanity. There's a man in heaven who is just as holy and perfect as the eternal God is. You know that? And that's our high priest, Jesus, the Son of God. He has entered the heavens. Entered the heavens. In chapter 9, in verse 24, just read this while we're reading. Look in chapter 9, verse 24. For Christ is not entered the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Unto heaven itself, to represent us before God. Those angels that were standing there when the Lord Jesus ascended up into heaven, remember that in Acts chapter 1? And the apostles just standing there gazing up into heaven. And they saw him go up. And a cloud received him out of their side. And they said, why are you standing here gazing? This same Jesus who was received up into heaven. And they ought to know, because they're there in heaven themselves. He shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go up into heaven. And you know, Peter picked up on that language. And later he wrote that he has entered into heaven. He has entered into heaven. A man has entered unto heaven. Angels and authorities and powers are subject unto him. This is our hope, isn't it? This is the hope of your poor pastor. As he muddles himself through this world, failing and falling, fighting with himself and devils and this world that gets so appealing sometimes. This is my hope. That Jesus Christ came into this world, made reconciliation for my sins, died on the cross, they buried him, he rose from the dead, and he is in heaven himself. He's there as our representative, as our forerunner. And you know something? Since he's there, that assures every believer that they'll be there too. Because a forerunner is somebody that goes ahead of everybody else. He's in heaven. Our high priest is in heaven, there to represent us before God. He's passed into the heavens. Thirdly, our text says this. Who is this high priest that is passed into heavens? Well, he tells us here in our text, verse 14, look at this. Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, the Son of God. How can we trust Him? How can we trust that He did what He said He did? He said, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of their sin. How can we trust them? He's in there in heaven today, and He says, I'll pray the Father, and He'll give you another Comforter. How can we trust what He says? Can we trust Him? He says, I go to prepare a place for you. Can we trust Him? I'll come again and receive you unto myself. But how can we know that for sure? You know how we can know and trust Him? Because of who He is. He's the Son of God. And I tell you what, if you trust your soul to Him for its salvation, and He doesn't honor that trust, and He disappoints you at last, then throw away your Bibles. There is no God. There is no heaven. There is no hereafter. Go back to your sins, eat, drink, and be merry. For when you die, it's all over with. If He can't be trusted. But He can be trusted. Because He's the Son of God. Commit your way unto Him. Trust also in Him. And He shall bring it to pass. Nobody ever trusted Jesus Christ. In their heart of hearts. For all their salvation. And was disappointed in the end. What did Paul say about it? I know whom I have believed, didn't he? Who did he believe? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Peter said, we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I tell you, put your trust in Him. You take Him at His word and you'll never be disappointed. It's impossible that you could be disappointed. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of God. And He's there in heaven. The last thing is this, he says. And I guess this would be the application. Let us hold fast our profession, our confession. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us therefore hold fast. Do you profess to be saved by the grace of Jesus Christ? Do you profess that? You have been saved by His grace. You are being saved by His grace. And you shall be saved by His grace. Is that our profession? Then let us hold fast to that profession. Because of who He is and because of what He's done. Boy, you and I are in a world. And there's a good reason here he exhorts us to hold fast. Hold fast, that implies some exertion, doesn't it? That implies a purpose, strength. Hold, you get a hold of something. And you say, boy, I've got to hang on. And that's what this is. Hold fast your profession of faith in Jesus Christ. Because I tell you, we're in these weak frames. We're in a world that's appealing with all these temporal advantages. We're in a world full of devils that seeks to do us wrong and harm us. And we got a ways to go yet, haven't we? Let us hold fast our profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Barnabas went down to Antioch because he had heard that they had received the Word of God. And he went down there and he saw evidence of God's grace. That He had called these men to Christ and they were trusting Christ. And they loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's what he said. He exhorted them with purpose of heart. They should cleave to the Lord. Get a hold of Him and don't let Him go. Hold Him fast. There's just one cord of salvation. There's one rope, as it were, to heaven. And that's Jesus Christ. Get a hold of Him by faith. Trust Him and don't let Him go. Hold fast. Look here what he says again in chapter 10. And look in verse 21. This was the conclusion of thing the Apostle Paul had been saying in the 10th chapter. This was the conclusion of what kind of high priest we have and how few we should trust him. And having, verse 21, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Don't waver. Why? For He is faithful. There it is again. He's merciful and He's faithful. That promise. That's our high priest, brothers and sisters. And next week, Lord's willing, we'll see that how tender He is to us, that He was tried in all points as we are. He can feel our infirmities. We'll look at that, the Lord's willing, next week. The same page 272 in our song book.